another opportunity to hear the word, and we're glad and grateful for the providence of God that's made it possible for us to be here tonight. I encourage you once again to get your Bible and to search the scriptures with us. As we call attention to an expression recorded two times by outstanding men of God in the Old Testament, the first of which was uttered by Joshua in Joshua chapter 23 and then verse 14, when he, old and stricken in age, said, "Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth." And then again by King David in 1 Kings chapter 2, when the days drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, "I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." I don't know of any greater charge than a father that could give to his son than the words that David uttered in charge to his son Solomon in view of his going the way of all the earth. You might like to jot down as the title of this study, "Going the way of all the earth." That's an expression of death, and though a lot of times folks don't like to think about that, I suggest that we need to from time to time. And whether we realize it or not, those words that were spoken so long ago can easily be said by each one of us tonight. And there are six things I want to call your attention to as you think about going the way of all the earth. First of all, I want us to be impressed with the fact that we are sure to go. If the Bible teaches anything at all, it teaches the fact that death is sure. When you go back to the generations of Adam in Genesis chapter 5, it is said of all 10, with the exception of Enoch, who was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because he had this testimony that he pleased God, Hebrews 11:5, and he died, like of Adam. In chapter 5 and verse 5, he died. Verse 8 said, and he died. Verse 11, Enos, and he died. Cainan, his son, verse 14, and he died. Mahalalel, verse 17, and he died. Jared, in verse 20, and he died. Methuselah, the oldest man to live, 969 years. And you know what the Bible says about him? And he died. Verse 27, and Lamech, and he died. In verse 32, does that make an impression upon you? The fact that we are going the way of all the earth? You know the words that were spoken by Job in chapter 30 and verse 23. Are words that need to sink down in our ears. "For I know," what you know, Job, "that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living." It says the psalmist asked in Psalm 89 and verse 48, "What man is he that liveth and shall not see death?" Why, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5, "For the living know." What is it that the living know? That they shall die. Paul penned these words in 1 Corinthians 15 and then verse 22. "For as in Adam, all die." That means you're going to die and I'll die too, unless the Lord comes first. And in Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed unto men once to die." We make appointments for that every day, don't we? Some of those we keep and some we miss. But unless the Lord comes first, we'll keep this appointment. We'll go the way of all the earth. Watch a funeral procession. Read the obituary, pass by a cemetery, and they're daily reminders of the fact that we're going that way. But not only does the Bible teach that we're sure to go, the scriptures indicate that it won't be very long till we go. We have no way of knowing what tomorrow's obituary list will be. And so we're saying it won't be very long till this short life shall end. It won't be very long till here we cease to roam. The psalmist said in Psalm 89 and verse 47, remember what? How short my time is. And the Bible describes the shortness of my earth time a lot of different ways. It makes for a good study. The shortness of my time. Life short, as depicted by the life of a flower. In Job 14, 1 and 2, the book of Job teaches man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. The psalmist picked up that same theme in Psalm 103, 15 and 16, when he said, "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." And so we're saying, as the life of a flower, as a breath or a sigh, so the years that we live, as a dream hastened by. True, today we are here, but tomorrow may see just a grave in the veil and a memory of me. You ever look back over the years of your life, and in many ways they seem like a dream? As a dream, our life hastens by. But also, life in its shortness is represented not only as a flower, but as a shadow. Job 14:2, "He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not." Maybe outside, and you look out and you see a shadow cast. And next thing you know, it's gone. It's disappeared. Isn't that the way life is? It's very quickly passing by. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. 1 Chronicles 29:15. But also, life is as a wind. Job 7 and 7 finds these words being uttered. "Oh, remember that my life is wind." Have you sit out on the front porch and you've got a swing and you feel a breeze blow by? You know, the Bible represents life in its brevity as wind. "For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again." Psalm 78:39. But also, the shortness of life is as a post. Job again, in chapter 9 and verse 25, said, "My days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good." That's not like a fence post, but the word post is used in the sense of a courier, a messenger. You think of a swift messenger. That's the way the shortness of life is represented. But also, the shortness of life is depicted as the swift ships. In Job 9:26, "Our days are passed away as the swift ships. Stand by the shore and watch the ships go by." Maybe at first they're very big, large in front of you. And then it's not long, but watch, you can put your thumb out there and cover it up. And you look and it's passed by, it's gone, it's out of sight. And that's the way life is, as the swift ships. But also, our days are passed away as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. Job 9 and 26, you ever watch an eagle? As it hastes to the prey, as it makes its descent upon the prey, happens very rapidly, doesn't it? And that's the way life gets away. It's also depicted as a tale that is told in Psalm 90 and verse 9. "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath, we spend our years." How do we spend our years? As a tale that is told. You ever hear a tale told? Don't take very long, does it? That's the way days are. As a tale that is told. But also, your shortness of time is depicted as a vapor. Remember the great question that James asked, "For what is your life?" And he answered that, "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." If you're not familiar with the vapor, when you go home tonight, put your little pot of water on the stove burner, turn it on, and allow that to heat up, and over time you'll see a steam, a vapor rise. Remove the pot of water and watch the vapor disappear. That's the way life is. It kind of impresses your mind with the fact that it's quickly passing away. And so James said, we ought to say, if the Lord will, we should live and do this or that. In Psalm 90 and 10, the psalmist said, "The days of our years are 70. That's 70. "And if by reason of strength they be 80. That's 80. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." In light of the shortness of our days, he said, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." That's Psalm 9 in verse 12. And so as you think about going the way of all of the earth, we're sure to go that way. And it won't be very long till we go. Let me suggest to you what exactly happens when we go. Have you thought about what happens when you go the way of all the earth? The Bible teaches that we are composed of body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And sometimes the words soul and spirit are used interchangeably in the Bible. There's a part of you that's physical. You know, the Bible says that God formed man of the dust of the ground. Genesis 2 and in verse 7. And God told Adam in chapter 3 and verse 19, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And so from a physical standpoint, like Abraham said in Genesis 18 and verse 27, we are but dust and ashes. That'll kind of humble you, won't it, when you maybe get to thinking a little more highly of yourself than you ought to think that you're dust and ashes. But man has a spirit within him that is formed by the Lord, as Zechariah revealed in Zechariah 12 and verse 1. And sometimes it's referred to as the soul. Remember, the Lord said, "Fear not them which are able to kill the body, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Matthew 10, 28. And so there's more to us than just this physical body. There's a part of us that cannot be sheltered by the roof that's over our heads, that cannot be educated by the books of men or fed by the food that's on our table. And that's the immortal part of us, the soul, the spirit that's made in the image of God, that will survive the death of this body and outlive the world. All that will happen when we go the way of all the earth is that this temporary physical house of flesh will go back to the dust from whence it came, and the soul or spirit will go back unto God who gave it. James said, "As the body without the spirit is dead," in James 2 and verse 26. You see, it takes the union of spirit and body to constitute life. The spirit animates the body. That's what makes us tick. That's why we're alive tonight. But one of these days, the spirit will leave this body to go back unto God who gave it. And Solomon pictures that process in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Here's a man who might say, "Live life to the fullest, tasted all that life had to offer." And what he was trying to do was to find out what was good for men to do under the sun all of their days. And when he came to the end, he said the grand conclusion is to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. And he appealed to the young man, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain." That's a picture of one affliction after another. "In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble," the younger person may be steady, but as we begin to age, we're not as steady as we used to be. Those housekeepers begin to tremble. "The strong man bows," as the young man or young lady may be able to stand erect, and that's more difficult sometimes as you grow older. You find that those strong men begin to bow. "The grinders cease because they're few," a reference to the teeth. "And those that look out of the windows be darkened," a reference to the eyes becoming dim. "The doors should be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low." Can't hear as well. "He shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low." The vocal cords aren't as strong as they used to be. "And when they shall be afraid of that which is high," a young person may climb that highest rung in the ladder or the top of the scaffolding, but it's difficult the older that we get, isn't it? Because fears are in the way. "And the almond tree shall flourish," that's a reference to the hair turning white, and sometimes that happens prematurely. "The grasshopper shall be a burden," that small task, what might seem like a small, menial task to some, becomes more of a difficulty, more of a burden as we grow older. And I think about how sometimes we take it for granted that we just get out of bed and we put on our clothing and we go about our business. And we come together on an occasion like this, and it's more difficult for some as they grow older. There are those who it takes all of their strength to be able to be in an assembly like this. And we thank you for being here tonight, and we appreciate the fact that you are using your strength to be among those who are in the presence of God Almighty, hearing His Word, singing praises to Him, and petitioning Him in prayer. "Desire shall fail because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets." There's your funeral procession. And in verse 7 he said, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." And his appeal is, don't wait until you look in the mirror and you see the almond tree has flourished. Don't wait until the grinders cease. Don't wait until those that look out of the windows be darkened and start thinking about God and responsibilities to God. Remember Him now while you're young, before those evil days, those difficult days of advanced years come. We're going that way. And that's what happens when we go. One of these days, if the Lord will, This body will go back to the dust from whence it came, and the Spirit unto God, who gave it, to await the judgment. But then as you make your study of going the way of all the earth, let me suggest to us how it is that we can go. Have you thought about how you're going that way? Did you know you can choose how you're going? And I don't mean by that from a physical standpoint. No, we do not know whether our life will be taken in some kind of a tragic accident or by some disease. And really, from a physical standpoint, it really makes no difference from that standpoint. But the thing that matters is how we go spiritually. And we can choose how we'll go spiritually. We can either go that way in our sins, or we can go that way in the Lord. And we don't want to go that way in our sins. Jesus said, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. John 8, verse 24. And in verse 21, He said, if ye die in your sins, whither I go, ye cannot come. He was going to heaven. And if I die in my sins, I cannot go to heaven. And so I don't want to go that way in my sins. And I don't have to go that way in my sins because of God's grace, which has made it possible for my sins to be washed away and forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus. I can go that way in Christ. And that's the blessed death that John spoke of in Revelation 14, 13 when he said, blessed are the dead, right? Is that what he said? Period? Blessed are the dead? No, I don't know that there's anything particular blessed about death itself. But he said, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. That's the blessed death. The death of those who die in the Lord. And to die in the Lord, I've got to be in the Lord. How do I get in the Lord that I might die in Him? By being baptized into Him. As baptism puts us into the Lord, Galatians 3 and verse 27. And it's not enough for me to just be baptized into Christ. I've got to stay in the Lord. I must abide in Him, John 15, and walk in Him, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So that when I go the way of all the earth, my death will be blessed. And I can rest from my labors, knowing that I have died in the Lord. What will be your spiritual condition when you go the way of all the earth? But may I kindly submit to us that once we go, there's no return. Death brings a finality to one's earthly existence. There's no coming back to this life. There's no second chances from that standpoint that after I've died, that somehow I've messed that up and I missed out and I'll have an opportunity to go back and to correct all of that. No, the Bible teaches in 2 Samuel 14:14, for we must needs die, and are as water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. You might as well take a cup of water outside and pour that out on the soil and try to gather that up again. You stand a greater chance of being able to do that than once you've gone the way of all the earth to return to this life here on earth. As the waters fell from the sea and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Job 14:11-12. And in Job 16:22 he said, when a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. David recognized that. Remember the death of his child that came as a result of the adulterous relationship of David and Bathsheba. And how that David said, can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. 2 Samuel 12 and in verse 23. The rich man learned that, didn't he? But he learned that too late. As he lifted up his eyes being in torment, he became concerned about his relatives back home. He wanted one to be sent from the dead. And the Lord said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And if they'll not hear God's appointed spokesman, then they'll not be persuaded though one rose from the dead. God's spokesman in these last days is His Son, according to Hebrews 1:1-4. And we must hear Him in all things. Once we go, there's no return. And so whatever it is that we intend to do, we better get to it, haven't we? Since we don't know when we're going to go, and that's the point upon which we're going to bring this sermon to a close. The fact that we know not when we will go. The writer of Ecclesiastes picked up on that in chapter 8, beginning in verse 6, when he said, to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. In Ecclesiastes 9:12, it is recorded For man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Thus the wise man could say in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The rich man of Luke 12 had plans for many years, didn't he? Sometimes we have plans. We're going to do this and that, and here's what we're going to do the rest of this month and next week and next month and next year and maybe on down farther the stream of time. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And we have no idea as to when we will go the way of all the earth. Yes, the Bible teaches we are sure to go. It won't be very long till we go. We've learned what happens when we go. The body goes back to the dust, the spirit back to God who gave it. We've learned how we can go. We can go in our sins or we can go in Christ. And the choice is up to us tonight. Once we go, there's no return. And we know not when we'll go. So we need to be ready. You remember Hezekiah, king of Judah, back in the book of 2 Kings 20 and in verse 1, who was told, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Have you set your house in order? And I don't mean that you've got your furniture all well arranged and the draperies. No. But from a spiritual standpoint, have we set our house in order? We do that by hearing the word of the Lord, and you've heard it tonight. By believing it. Do you believe what you've heard? Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe in Jesus? We set our house in order by repenting of our sins. We need to make some changes in our life. We do that by repentance. The things that we've been saying, thinking, doing that are contrary to God's will, we stop all of that. We admit that we've been wrong. And we confess our faith in Jesus as the Son of God. As we saw in the lesson last night of the man who confessed, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then to be baptized into Jesus Christ, it's immersion in water. It's for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. It puts us into the one body, 1 Corinthians 12:13, which is the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And then to be faithful unto death, that is even to the taking of our life, Revelation 2:10. To be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Most of what we do in this life is all for naught, without meaning, isn't it? But what we do in the Lord, for the Lord, is of great value. Will you deny yourself of ungodliness and worldly lust and commit to living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world? Titus chapter 2 and in verse 12. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel, but you become unfaithful. Sin has gotten you down. You've gone back to the ways of the world. You can straighten all of that up tonight through repentance, confession, and prayer. We're happy to pray with you and for you. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And if we can assist you tonight in making your life right with God, don't hesitate. Accept God's grace, respond to that, so that when you go the way of all the earth, you'll be ready. If we can assist you, make your way now to the front while together we stand and sing.